They are the greatest sports writers in history. Red Smith, Grantland Rice, Damon Runyon. One day this man will have read them all. The program's NFL insider, Bob Glauber.
You know, the scary thing about this, now that Bob's in the Hall of Fame and all, like, he's actually one of the greatest sports writers. Like, we have this commercial, or this intro, talking about him reading all the great ones. We actually now have to tip our cap to the Hall of Famer, Bob Glauber. Our NFL insider joins us here in the program. He's brought to you by my friends at Worth Harley-Davidson North. They're your friends, too. Walk in the door. You'll see how Rick Worth, Chris Guerin, all the guys treat you, your family, the moment you walk in the door at Worth Harley-Davidson North. Great time right now. Other people, they'll offer you, like, you know, your trade value. Worth will offer you 125% of your trade value or 0% for 60 months. Got a title on anything, they'll talk trade. RVs, watercraft, you name it. If it's got a title, they'll talk trade. Check it out right now. You can see them online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com. Better yet, see them in person just south of the airport off I-29 and Tiffany Springs, the closest departure to go see them at Worth. We're broadcasting live today at Mr. Brew's Tap House, 3140 South Iowa Street, just a little bit south of 31st, just on the basically kind of the northeast corner of 33rd in Iowa. Great spot for you to come down and enjoy some Oktoberfest. Bob likes some Oktoberfest. I watched Bob guzzle 26 beers in 16 minutes. It was amazing. Amazing to watch. 12 Oktoberfest beers on tap here in the OP location. 8 Oktoberfest beers. Come check it out right now in the special today. Get yourself a beer braised bratwurst, choice of chips, fries, or go ahead and go for the cup of spatzel served with either cheese sauce and fried onions or a hollandaise brown gravy. The kids can enjoy a free hot dog today and every day all the way up until October 3rd. 22-ounce draft beers are only $5 now through football season. Take advantage of the great deals, the great food, the great drinks, the great people at Mr. Brew's Tap House. Mr. Glauber, sir, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Seren. It kills you to say I'm decent at something, doesn't it?
It kills you.
It hurts.
You know,
it
throw up in my mouth.
Yeah.
Disgusts.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll go there.
Kurt Revile. Has no problem. Kurt's a nice dude. Kurt's fair. But no, don't give Bob any credit. Keep that guy humble. All right.
I do what I can, Bob.
Yes,
I do what
you
I can.
Do.
Yeah.
Yes, you
thanks.
Do.
Appreciate that.
How are you?
I'm well. I'm well, my friend. What did you make of the Chiefs tanking against Baltimore?
Tanking?
Well, what 35-24 in the fourth quarter and you lose? That's define tank if that's not it.
I mean, tanking implies you're doing it on purpose.
Okay. What do you make of the Chiefs dumping in their diaper against the Baltimore Ravens?
Better. There you go. See?
Okay.
You're getting there. You're getting there. My take is that the defense has got some problems. And I don't know whether they're I don't know what the problem is with the problem on defense, because this looks like, you know, year one of Steve Spagnuolo's defense, not, you know, year three and coming off a Super Bowl, couple of Super Bowl runs, right? So
yeah.
this is problematic, and I would be concerned about it.
Bob, of course, has covered Steve Spagnuolo a couple of different stints as the defensive coordinator of the Giants. And you're on a, you know, whose house are we eating at basis with Steve Spagnuolo, is that correct?
No, not quite that much, but,
okay.
You know,
okay.
I'll get the, hey, Bob,
yeah.
How are you in the Boston thing.
Yeah,
does he say look it? Does he say look it after, before every
look
sentence?
It. Look it.
Look
it.
Look it. Look it.
Look it.
Listen, look it is Bill Parcells. I mean, he owns that one, but, you know, Spags does it too. Look at fellas.
I think you make a good point, and Steve Spagnuolo came in, you know, with a lot of intensity today, and he's always very gracious with the media, and I appreciate it. He's always pretty honest. You know, he'll say more. Doesn't ever give away the game plan or anything like that, but, you know, he gives a little more detail into what's going on, certainly more than Andy Reid, which is Coach Reid's choice. I mean, he's a lot of coach speak for the most part. You can
purposely bland.
Really,
I mean,
he's
bland with a purpose, right? But that's
yeah,
okay.
He is. He's bland with a paranoia, right? The purpose is paranoia,
well,
and I
yeah,
it served him well. he's a Hall of Fame head coach.
Yes, he's going to the Hall of Fame. It's okay to be bland and paranoid, right?
Well, yeah, it's not preferred, though, okay?
Of course so, not. For our purposes, we want electrifying and quotable and, you know.
Yeah.
We want Rex Ryan, right? Put Andy Reid's coaching with Rex Ryan's personality, and there you got the perfect coach. Good quote, great coach, and wins championships. That's good.
Yeah, I agree. Steve Spagnuolo came out and said, listen, it wasn't good enough. We know it's not good enough. It hadn't been good enough for 2 weeks. We have to get better. Coach Reid talked to the team. He did a great job. You know, I talked to our guys. There is the defense, I think, is embarrassed by how they've played. Jaron Reed said yesterday, we're pissed off, right? But I want to ask you from your time with the Giants, because here's one of the things I'm seeing. I'm going to give you some names of guys, right, that the Chiefs drafted, and drafted rather high. This has been a theme here, so our listeners know where I'm going with this. But, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs, since Steve Spagnuolo came on board, I can bring up Dorian O'Daniel and Derek Nnadi in 18, but he wasn't here. But in 18, they drafted Breland Speaks in the second, Derek Nnadi in the third, and Dorian O'Daniel in the third. Derek Nnadi plays and plays well when he's not hurt, which he's been for the first couple of games this year and tried to fight through it. But Breland Speaks, they ultimately cut. They cut in the year that Steve Spagnuolo took over. And Dorian O'Daniel's never done anything but play special teams. Same thing with fourth-round pick Amani Watts, right, who was a defensive player as well. But again, Spagnuolo wasn't there for that drafting. That was the draft of Brett Veach, but it wasn't Steve Spagnuolo. So, okay, hey, you were drafting guys for Bob Sutton's scheme. These guys don't fit my scheme. Time to move on. Fine. 2019, they take Juan Thornhill in the second round. They take Colin Saunders in the third round. Juan Thornhill played 11 of 76 snaps on Sunday against the Baltimore Ravens. Colin Saunders played more, but he plays the least number of snaps of the four defensive tackles, I believe. Opet, go to 2020. Willie Gay Jr., by most people's account, had a good camp. He's hurt now, but he couldn't get on the field last year on the defensive side of the ball. Really only, for the most part, played special teams, right? That second-round pick. They did get L'Jarius Sneed, played very well in the fourth. Michael Dana played as a fifth-rounder and had some solid production. Tharcarius Keyes, they took in the seventh. They've already cut him. By the way, they traded a sixth in 21 to take him in the seventh. So they've already cut him. I should mention in 19 they took Rashad Fenton in the sixth, and he's contributed, is what I would say, to this defense. And, you know, this year, Joshua Kando in the fourth hasn't gotten on the field at all, I don't think. Is there I think Steve Spagnuolo is smart. I know he's smart. I know Brett Veach is smart. I think they have good staffs, both coaching and front office staffs. But they don't seem to be on the right page. Was that ever a problem with Steve Spagnuolo in the time you covered him with the Giants?
No, never. You know, when he – see, in the first iteration, he was – see, this two-game streak reminds me a little bit of that first year. And they gave up a combined 80 points in the first two games. And we're thinking, you know, who is this guy? Why is he running the defense? And is this going to be a winless season? Well – they got it together after that. You know, the scheme clicked and it kicked in. Well, you know, there's too much time. He's been there too long for that phenomenon to happen. Now, they might end up turning it around, and it might be coincidence that the first two games have been horrific this year. But they should know better, and, you know, he should know better, and I think he does know better. He's called a couple of tough games. But that was not – personnel was not a problem. The defense was always the strength of the Giants team, and, you know, they tried to get good quarterback play around it. Worked the first time with Eli Manning. They won a championship. Didn't work the second time under Ben McAdoo. It fell apart. The wheels came off. But it wasn't, you know, there were no issues about Spagnuolo, like, refusing to use the people he drafted, that they drafted, or anything like that. Not a hint of that.
His scheme is too complicated. Young players can't get on the field because the scheme is too complicated. Was that something you experienced?
Yeah, I would say that's probably – there's probably something to that, because he had the benefit of – especially the first go-round, there were veteran players on that defense. You know, Michael Strahan was in his last year at that time, 07. Antonio Pierce was a veteran middle linebacker who, and it took them a while to kind of get it. So I would say complexity of the defense can be a factor, especially for younger players trying to acclimate. And see, Spagnuolo is at his best when he's got the horses, obviously. Yeah, you got to have that. But also when he has the smart players who have been around a long time. And that's why Tyrann Mathieu, you know, thrived in that Super Bowl season. And that's why the better players and the veteran players do so well, because it creates opportunities and it's a smart system. So, but I understand why it's tougher on young players, and because it is complicated.
Man, 07 was Strahan's last year. I'd have said 5 or 6 years he's been out. He's been out 14 years. Good Lord. How
it's
time
unbelievable,
flies.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Like, he's already a veteran in his new career.
Yeah, it's amazing. All right, so like my feeling has been, you know, there's kind of like three potential. It's like, so Juan Thornhill plays 11 snaps. Dan Sorensen, who's been a fine football player, and he's getting beat up in this town, and I don't like it because I think he's a good football player. He just shouldn't be playing 76 snaps, right? Like, he's a dime linebacker and a backup safety. Like, that's how he should be used, but instead he's the full-time guy who never comes off the field. And I think, and so, I'm, you know, he was asked today, like, what's the deal? And he said, well, Juan Thornhill, we've talked about it. You know, there's some things he needs to do to get out on the field. Well, clearly, Brett Veach took him in the bottom of the second round. I mean, there's nothing left to conclude, but there's a difference of opinion there on what that guy can do, right?
Yeah, I would think so. And I would think that, I think Spagnuolo, see, this is a perfect example of Spags trusting the veteran guy. And Sorensen is that guy. Sorensen, you know, he's a bit of a plugger. He's smart. He's really smart. I mean, that's the strength of his game. But he's physically not imposing and not dominating. But you know, with Spags and his defense, he's comfortable with a guy who will at least be in the right position. And that's what, you know, that's what he needs, and that's what, you know, that's what is required to excel in Spagnuolo's defense. He, you know, Sorensen just doesn't have the, you know, the physical talent to dominate like a Tyrann Mathieu or you know, other guys who just, they just have more talent.
Chris Jones moved out the defensive end. Right now, according to Pro Football Focus grades, he ranks 33rd amongst all the edge rushers that are out there. He used to be a top five defensive tackle. Spagnuolo was asked today. In fact, we've got that one, right? Let's go ahead and play it. Spags on, do we have it? No, we have.
I believe so. On Chris Jones?
Yeah. I thought we did.
But we did too. I've got Daly on Chris Jones.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Well, never mind. Anyway, he said, you know, he was asked, like, hey, when would you look at putting him back inside? He said, I think it's a little early for that. I do too, because he's just played two knuckleballers, right? The Cleveland Browns and the Baltimore Ravens are ground-and-pound teams. Maybe the Tennessee Titans are the only other team that just is going to try to pound you with the run. And I think most teams, and this Chiefs defense, are definitely built to play what is now the more popular style of offense, which is throw it. I mean, I think most teams are in nickel most of the time. They've had to go into, you know, their traditional, put three linebackers out there. And so I do want to see what Chris Jones can do against a more traditional team, or what has now become the more traditional team in the Chargers. But, like, at some point you got to just look at it, and I'm asking you, when is it that you look at it and just go, okay, if Chris Jones doesn't start playing better, and he was terrible against the run with the Ravens, they sucked him inside all night, and Lamar Jackson just easily ran outside of him. He did not set the edge at all. How long would you give it before you say, okay, this isn't working, and I don't care who we play at DN, get me anybody who will set the edge, get Chris Jones back to his natural position?
Yeah. I would think a little bit sooner rather than later, maybe sooner than Spags would like to publicly admit, because I think you're right. Chris Jones is an interior player, and he's terrific at it. And his quickness, his strength, his agility makes him the perfect D tackle who can kind of create havoc. So putting him out in the end, I'm sure it's an adjustment for him. I'm sure it's different. Everything is just, you know, you got to think it through, and you can't play fast. So it's tough. So I would think that if this thing goes another game or two, and you can bring up a good point about more of a traditional team in Los Angeles, but I would think that if it goes another couple of games, he's going to have to rethink this.
Yeah, that's where it seems to be going. They've got a tough one against the Chargers next. How good are the Chargers in your mind? They lost a heartbreaker to the Cowboys on a late field goal, one that Mike McCarthy seemingly had no concept of what was going on with the clock, but they still hit the 56-yarder to beat the Chargers. The Chargers have scored 37 points in two games. Justin Herbert has thrown for 300 yards in each of the first two games, but two touchdowns and three INTs. He has not looked quite as efficient as he was. Their offense hasn't been as good as it was advertised to be. What do you think of the Chargers?
Well, I think there are teams, I guess, still trying to discover who it is. It's a different coach, and Anthony Lynn had him playing a certain style, and I think they probably got used to that. It was kind of an aha moment year type for Justin Herbert. I don't think a lot of people gave him credit for coming into the season, but he played better and better as the season went on. So I would expect that with a couple of games, and they played well in Washington, and they played well enough to win against Dallas, but didn't. So I think they're a tough out. I think they're an improved team, but it's a team, again, still trying to find itself with a first-year coach, and that takes some time.
Does it take time, or is that when you're at your best? Right? When everybody's like, hey, new guy, I got to impress him. The NFL Coach of the Year award is littered with first-year coaches, many of them who went on to barf on their shoes in the ensuing years. Like, I actually think it's a bad sign when the first-year coach doesn't do anything. And I'm not saying you have to be, like, 11-5. Like, I thought Carolina, in a lot of ways responded to Matt Rhule last year, and he only won four or five games, but gave the Chiefs everything they needed. I thought had great game management in that game. I'm not saying you have to be, fighting your way through the playoffs, but I think you got to show some life in the first year of a coach.
Yeah, but it's only two games in, so I think in the NFL, and I've learned this. This is a recent thing. You can take this one, Saran. You taught me about running backs and now quarterbacks. Take this one. It really takes a month of season to figure out what's going on. Bill Belichick once said that almost as a throwaway line at the end of a preseason, maybe 3 years ago. They played the Giants each year at the end of the preseason. And he talked about, going through the first month. And if you notice, even during their dynasty years, they would often struggle in the first month of the season. I think that game against Kansas City where they lost on the Monday nighter to go 2-2, I believe that was the fourth game of the season. And then the famous on to Cincinnati comes the next week. So I think there's something to that. And I just think, everyone wants to make, are the Saints for real? They beat down the Packers. I mean, oh, my God. And then they lay an egg in Carolina. I just think you got to wait a month and see what happens. Because if Los Angeles plays a lot better against the Chiefs, even if they lose, I think you got to say, well, okay, this team is going to have something. And, you can go on a run mid-season, late season, and things change. The ebbs and flows of an NFL season, there are about four segments, and that's why it's a good idea to break it up in quarters. It just, there's momentum things that go on. So I just think it's a longer way of saying it's too early to see that if the Chargers are, a fraud and an underachiever or are going to be a decent team under a first-year coach.
Bob Glauber, fence sitter, with us here in the program as we break down the NFL with the Hall of Fame writer from the New York Newsday. When we come back, we'll talk about the Broncos and Raiders, just how good are they in the AFC West. Tom Brady's dad had some choice words about Bill Belichick. We'll get his thoughts on that as well. He's the best in the business from the New York Newsday. Bob Glauber is with us as we broadcast live from Mr. Brew's Tap House, 3140 Iowa Street right here in Lawrence, Kansas. That's where I'm at. Come on down and take advantage of it. They got a great game day special for Chiefs games. Get six wings and a 22-ounce draft for $10. Today, get a beer-braised bratwurst, your choice of chips, fries, or go German style with a cup of spatzel served with either cheese sauce and fried onions or holidays brown gravy. gravy. Let's hear it, Mr. Brew's Tap House. Remember, the kids can enjoy a free hot dog today through October 3rd at Mr. Brew's Tap House.
The program with Soren Petro.
You ever quote anything besides statistics, Vulcan?
Yes, but philosophy and poetry are not appropriate here.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the good sense, end of the hour answer. Tony Mandarich, 55 today, second overall pick in 1989. Only one Michigan State player went higher in the Common Draft era. Who was it?
I know. Bob, do you know?
Plaxico Burress? No.
Nope.
No, Plaxico Burress went two.
I don't know that.
If I'm not mistaken, it was, Hightower. I know his character on, what the hell is his,
given
Hightower on Police Academy.
Given first name, Charles Aaron.
Yeah, Charles Rogers.
Charles
no.
Aaron Bubba Smith.
Bubba Smith, yeah.
Number one overall pick in 1967. Wow. The second pick in the draft was also from Michigan State that year. And then I think Bob recognized Charles Rogers as also being there. He was the last player taken, number two overall from Michigan State.
Yep. Plaxico Burress didn't go number two. Charles Rogers went number two.
No, Plaxico I'm thinking Burress Michigan like... State, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Charles Rogers, he of the watered-down drug test. That was unfortunate. That was a sign of things to come. Remember,
he got
nailed for, basically failing a drug test because his urine was too diluted. He just drank a lot to cover it up.
He passed away a couple years ago.
Did he really?
Yeah. November 11th, 2019, 38.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry to hear that. Wow.
I just noticed it on his bio, yeah. I didn't remember that happening.
Wow. That's unfortunate.
We were playing for Good Sense there, goodsensesubs.com. Order it on your way home if you'd like. The app, the easiest way to order, 10% back when you're part of that loyalty club. I still see people that are checking out at Good Sense like, are you part of our loyalty club? Nah. Okay. I hate free money. 10%. Get signed up for that. They have it right there. When you come in, you can put it right on your order and get a discount, 10% discount, basically every time you're ordering there at Mr. Good Sense. We're at Mr. Brew's Tap House, 3140 Iowa Street, Lawrence and OP celebrating Oktoberfest. They got specials all throughout the month of October, 12 different Oktoberfest beers on tap. And OP, they've got 8 different Oktoberfest beers on tap. Take advantage of it at Mr. Brew's Tap House. We're talking to Bob Glauber, our NFL insider here in the program. Let's do Brady's dad's comments. I don't know what show he was on. He was on some show. Maybe it was the Pat McAfee show. I saw it on ESPN anyway, where he's like, is coming back and, you know, Tom Brady and winning, is that satisfying for you and knowing Belichick? He goes, yep. Absolutely, he said, you're damn right. He said, how about winning the championship? Is that it? Yep, you're damn right. Is it satisfying to your son? You're damn right. He said he made it clear that he didn't want Tom around. And then Tom Brady's trainer, Alex Guerrero, said, the problem was Bill Belichick wanted to treat a 40-plus-year-old Tom Brady like he was some 20-year-old kid. And that all the team knew that that's not how you treat a 40-plus-year-old guy. Let's also point out that had won 6 Super Bowls, too. Right? Like, what do you make of this? Is that Bill Belichick's getting old and crusty and he ran off the best quarterback ever? I mean, that we're seeing signs of decline for Bill Belichick?
You know, it's a complicated equation because much of it is complicated by the fact that Brady himself contractually made it so that he could be a free agent at the end of that contract with no chance of being the franchise player. Now, does Belichick play a part in that? Of course. I mean, you're married football-wise to someone for 20 years. First of all, it never happens. I mean, 20 years. It's ridiculous. So you get sick of each other, of course. And I think part of it is that, you know, they both wanted to try to see if they could win without each other. I think that's natural. The idea of credit, I think, you know, maybe a little bit overplayed, and Brady was diplomatic when he left New England about that. But you've got to think that Brady, as competitive as he is, feels great about being able to get away from where he was.
Of course he does. Of course he feels great. We get how he feels great, Bob, but let's go back to the original question.
Oh.
Is it a sign that Belichick's tanking? Like, you turn it into a relationship thing. Yeah. A couple with a wonderful family, all kinds of great kids, swimming in financial success, and every other intangible. You know, the bedroom's fantastic. They're not splitting because it's been 20 years. People, if you're going to make it a relationship, people stay married for 50 or 60 years. They were the happiest, should have been the happiest couple on earth. Both of them swimming in cash, winning championships. Come on, somebody bombed here, and it's Bill Belichick. You can still be the best coach ever, but you have to, the modern day superstar has to be coached a certain way. Certainly the one that has put six rings on your finger.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. You know, it's fair. What, as Belichick would say, what do you want me to say? You know, what do you want me to say?
Just say Belichick's slipping.
If Belichick determined that he felt Tom Brady was in decline, then that's a big slip, right? Now, the last pass that he threw for the New England Patriots was an interception against the Tennessee Titans. I think it was Logan Ryan that caught that. And in a playoff loss at home, had everything going for him. So, you know, the guy won the Super Bowl the next year. I don't know that he stays in New England the next year or this year and ends up winning a Super Bowl. I don't think so. I don't think that team, as it was constructed, was capable of winning the Super Bowl. I think he had a better team around him in Tampa Bay, and he made them a better team. So, you know, great for Brady, and I don't blame him for being ecstatic. And his father, hell, why not? You know, why not be pissed at that, or at least, you know, celebratory about what your kid did without Bill Belichick around him. It's fine. And the thing with Guerrero, you know, Belichick hated Guerrero, and he just did not want this guy hanging around. It was like, hey, we got the training staff. This is what we do. You know, you want a private guy? And he's worried about other guys and impacting Gronk, and he impacted him in a good way. And now you see it. Now, I think it's really good that Brady is in a warm weather climate. Does that sound weird? I don't know. I don't think so. He's thriving in this because it's better for him body-wise, and it's just an easier living and easier lifestyle, and he's living it up right now. Now, I do think it's gonna be a tough slog here this weekend. They're playing against the Rams team that is super motivated. They got their quarterback. And they've got Aaron Donald being able to rush up the middle, which is Brady's kryptonite. So I'm fascinated by this matchup here. And then, of course, that you know they will end up playing the New England Patriots in a death stare between Belichick and Brady.
Yeah. Do you think the Patriots are on their way back? I mean, do you think that Mac Jones is the guy, and they're going to, you know, return to their rightful place atop the AFC East for years to come?
No, I think this division belongs to the Buffalo Bills for now, for the foreseeable future, because I think Josh Allen's terrific. They've built a very, very good team around him. I think if the Jets did that with Sam Darnold, those guys came out the same year, he probably would still be with the Jets, and they'd be a lot further along. But the Bills did it right, and the Bills, as currently constructed, are just a very, very strong team, and New England is not that team. You know, they had to buy a defense, which is very rare for Belichick. And Mac Jones, you know, okay, he looks great. He looks good the first couple weeks. Okay, fine. You know, give me the first couple of years. Like, we don't know anything about this guy other than he's a good leader. He follows. He does what Belichick tells him and Josh McDaniels tell him. And, you know, he's won his first game of his career. Whoop-de-doo. Let's see what you can do over the next, you know, 10 years.
Would you say the same thing about Justin Herbert then?
Well, Justin Herbert put down a great first season on tape, and he looks like he's the goods. I think he's a more dynamic quarterback than Mac Jones. I don't know that Mac Jones can be the downfield thrower that Justin Herbert is. I think Justin Herbert is a special guy, you know, throwing deep and throwing accurately on a dime. on you know, a 60-yard post route. I don't know that Mac Jones has that in him just yet, because he at Alabama he had everything. He had all the talent around him. He had the coaching. It's not a fair fight when you're playing there, but you get to the NFL level, it's a fair fight, and you're going to get the best from everybody, and it's not going to be as easy. So, again, let me see more from Mac Jones, and I'll be able to tell you.
But the returns are in on Justin Herbert. He's a tremendous quarterback, you're saying.
No, I'm saying I like Justin Herbert. I think he's a really good quarterback. What are you trying to trap me here?
Well, I'm just trying
media?
To, you know.
You mean
no,
I'm, what are you trying to do?
Well, I'm trying to get you to declare something about Justin Herbert. You said, you know, let me know in a couple of years, let me know in 10 years on Mac Jones. And yet Justin Herbert, everyone has decided, no, the returns are in. He had a 30-touchdown rookie season, so we're all good. And right now he sits with two touchdowns and three INTs on the year and has led an offense to just 37 points in the first 2 weeks.
Okay. Listen, I'm not ready to pronounce Justin Herbert a 10-year to 15-year quarterback just yet? No, of course not. You can't, and you can't say that Mac Jones won't be that. But we're just talking, and you know, Justin Herbert is good, and I think he's, you know, I don't know if it's just getting used to a first-year coach or what, but I think he's really good. I think he's got, I think his upside is higher than Mac Jones. I just do.
Justin Fields is going to start for the Bears because they're not going to be able to start Andy Dalton. Nationally, a network you used to work with, certainly ESPN, you know, has decided that Justin Fields is God's gift to the quarterback position, and Matt Nagy's a colossal boob for not having already started a guy so far this year is, well, these are stupid college numbers. Hang on, I want to get... I know he was 6-for-13 yesterday, right? Or last week when he came into the game. Am I the only one that's like, why has everyone decided Fields is God's gift to the quarterback position? And why can't serving at least a 15-game apprenticeship the way Patrick Mahomes did be the way the Bears go with this guy?
Well, there's a couple of differences there. And two things, and I'm glad I'm talking to you, and I'm glad it's Kansas City, because people will understand. Matt Nagy is Andy Reid, you know, a wannabe, right? So he comes from the Andy Reid tree, direct descendant. What did Andy Reid do with your favorite Syracuse quarterback in Philadelphia?
I put him in midseason somewhere. I can't remember what game it was.
It was midseason. It was about 6 or 7 games in. Doug Peterson was the sacrificial veteran lamb, and he got crucified by Eagles fans who threw batteries at him and just wanted him out of there immediately. So he was Andy Dalton, right? He was Andy Dalton, just this, you know, middling veteran quarterback who could fill a need. And Andy Reid was fine with that because Andy Reid knew that Donovan McNabb was not ready to play right away, or he didn't want him to play right away. So the difference there with Mahomes, though, is you had.
By the way, week 10, just for the record, week 10 was when McNabb got the starting nod. He started week 10.
Okay, but he played a number of – he got him in. He got him ready. So, but the difference with Mahomes is that you had a highly functional quarterback in Alex Smith. It was the perfect time to let a guy spend a year on the bench. Perfect. Yeah, he's a playoff quarterback. You knew it was near the end because they draft a quarterback in the first round, but there's no reason to force it with Patrick Mahomes when you've got Alex Smith there when you're coming off a playoff season.
That's wrong.
Why?
Because Patrick Mahomes was significantly better.
Well, but in the way that thing unfolded, the way Patrick Mahomes' career has unfolded, do you think it would, if he would, so you're automatically assuming that if he had started from the get-go, he'd be as good as he is now? I don't know that.
Well, no, we'll never know it. And that's why two fat heads like you and I sit here and shout at each other, because there is no definitive right answer. But I will say this. I don't think Fields is going to even shine the shoes of Patrick Mahomes in his career. I'm not a Fields fan. Everybody else is goo-goo and gaga over Fields. I think the Ohio State quarterbacks have all sucked because I think they're all one-read guys swimming in talent. You know, and when I see Fields, who, by the way, averaged, what was it, his average yards per attempt in this game, 6 of 13 for 60 yards, so 4.62 yards per attempt, right? His average yards gained per pass attempt, 1.15. Well, it's early. He's a rookie. He's young. Patrick Mahomes went for 291, no touchdowns and an INT in a win against the Denver Broncos when he played with 19 other backups. There is something that can be gleaned in those early starts. They're not just throwaways, right? Those early games, they mean something. And so my point is this. I think Fields is much more likely to be Josh Allen. And if you're going to play him, okay, you're going to take some lumps. You're going to lose. But I think he could use the apprenticeship year. I actually think by about midseason, and the Chiefs got down to a point that they were 6-6, Andy Reid made a mistake in not pulling the trigger. Because you can't tell me that OTAs and minicamps and five more games of watching was what took Patrick Mahomes from being a guy who wasn't fit to start and not as good as Alex Smith to being 5,050. Right? It wasn't the offseason. He was ready to step in and make it go. I actually think Andy Reid made a mistake, and I think it's one that may have cost his franchise a championship. Because
you don't think that Patrick Mahomes is, I mean, he says it. Alex Smith says it. Andy Reid, yes, that apprenticeship helped. That, I mean, what is not?
Well, but that's okay that. But this,
with
this is my very point.
Saying. It was good for me to stop to watch.
Okay, so why is Fields? It's time to get him out there.
Well, Dalton's hurt. If Dalton was not hurt, he'd be playing. I think Nagy has said that. And
right.
He even said when Dalton can play again, he's the guy, which does a couple of things. Like, you know, if Fields lights it up, forget it. He's, you know, Dalton's not coming back. But if Fields does struggle, at least Nagy has some plausible deniability about having to put his guy back, even though, you know, you're not going anywhere with Andy Dalton. Everyone knows the future is Justin Fields. You're not going anywhere with Andy Dalton. But it's also not necessarily reason that because you're not going with Andy Dalton, you got to play Fields right away. If a coach thinks the quarterback is not ready, he's not going to play him.
Listen, I agree. I've got Matt Nagy's back. I don't think Justin Fields is that good.
Well,
right?
I mean,
so,
I think he's better than you think he is, but, you know, obviously time will tell. I think he's got athletic talent that you just don't, you know, you can't buy that. Now, athletic talent, for going from that to really good quarterbacking, is a whole different discussion because there's a lot to it. Playing quarterback's, you know, ridiculous. But I think he's got the physical tools, and I think he's got the arm talent to be really good. Will
who
he be?
Played
we
better?
Don't know.
The only comparison we have is the one game that they both played in against the same team. And who played better, Andy Dalton or Justin Fields?
Well, I don't know. I guess you'd have to. Well, Justin Fields came in what was it? Did he come in the first game or no? Was that the second game? Just the second game. I don't know.
He played in both games.
What's your point?
Well, my point is Andy Dalton went 9 of 11 with a touchdown and no INTs for a 118 passer rating against the Bengals, and Justin Fields went 6 of 13 for 60 yards, no touches, and a pick, and a 27 passer rating. And I just – what do I really want? I want you to say the bulk of the national football media sucks. That, if you want just what I want you to say, that's what I want you to say.
Why?
Because this is preposterous how they act like Justin Fields – is Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, but wait a minute. What was happening? But what was the narrative before the draft? Maybe it's a little makeup ground here.
Oh, it's absolutely a bunch of media pigs rooting for their pick. They all said he should go 2 or 3.
They said he was overrated. Ask Dan Orlovsky.
How can the 49ers be trading up for Mac Jones? This is ridiculous. Justin Fields is the guy you got to take. That's what everyone said. And the only reason they didn't say it about the Jets is because word was all over the street that the Jets were going to take Zach Wilson. So at that point, they all tucked their tail between their legs. They should have been beating up on Zach Wilson if they were so strong on Justin Fields. But no, that whole Niner thing was about Justin Fields. It wasn't about Trey Lance. And so then, and what did everybody say all draft night and all the grades? Oh, the Bears moving up to get Fields. What a great move. What a great move. What a great move. And then, oh my God, have you seen Mac Jones without his shirt off? These idiots in New England, they clearly don't know what they're doing. Those were the narratives.
Yeah, but there was also the narrative of that Justin Fields doesn't have what it takes as a quarterback, the Ohio State thing. Run the tape, man. Go watch the tape. There was a lot of that. And
I don't know. I guess I must listen to different people because I heard Justin Fields was God's gift, and it was preposterous that he should be in the discussion to go number one overall. And so I guess I heard a different group. All right, enough about that. We'll take a break. I'll come back more with Bob Glauber. He's our NFL insider. Joins us each and every week. He's brought to you by our friends at Worth Harley-Davidson North. We're live at Mr. Bruce Tap House here in Lawrence, 3140 Iowa Street. That's where you can find us. And that's where you can find a great Chiefs game day special. Six wings and a 22-ounce draft for just $10. It's right here at Mr. Bruce Tap House in Lawrence. Also in OP, downtown OP, Mr. Bruce Tap House.
The program with Soren Petro.
What the hell are you doing, fat ass?
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the program live at Mr. Brew's Tap House. Great place to come enjoy the Oktoberfest flavors. 12 different Oktoberfest beers on tap here in Lawrence. Eight different flavors on tap. And OP, get a great special all day and into the evening tonight. Get a beer braised bratwurst, choice of chips, fries, or you can choose your cup of spatzle served with either cheese sauce and fried onions or hollandaise brown gravy. Kids can enjoy a free hot dog today, tomorrow, the next day, all the way through October 3rd. As they celebrate Oktoberfest with the little ones, free hot dog for the kids for the next week or so. Also get a 22-ounce draft beer for $5 today and all through football season. And the best special going, Chiefs game day special. Six wings and a 22-ounce draft for just $10. Just met our buddy Rich. Said hello and was chatting with him. He grabbed the wings. Yesterday said he was going burger today. He said the best-kept secret in town are the wings at Mr. Brew's Tap House. He said they're absolutely fantastic. And I'm going to tell you, getting six of them in a 22-ounce draft for $10 is out of this world. So take advantage of it. Mr. Brew's Tap House game day special for Chiefs games. Six wings in a 22-ounce draft for just $10. You're not going to beat that deal anywhere. It's Mr. Brew's Tap House. We're here at 3140 Iowa Street in Lawrence. We're talking to Bob Glauber, our NFL insider. He, of course, brought to you by our friends at Worth Harley-Davidson. Bite night tonight, by the way, at Worth. If you're up around the Northland, go get some ice-cold beer, some great barbecue, and some live music, along with the best Harley-Davidsons anywhere around, best selection. It's there at Worth, 125% for your trade-in or 0% for 60 months. Go see them at Worth Harley-Davidson North, I-29 and Tiffany Springs. Bob, the Broncos and Raiders, they're both undefeated. Who's got more staying power?
Raiders.
Broncos quarterback only?
Because of the quarterback, in large part because of the quarterback. But I also think that, you know, Carr, Gruden, you know, this like they were 6-3 last year, 6-2, and then just, you know, tanked in the second half of the season. But I think they have more of a chance of being for real. Denver, you know, good things, beat two mediocre teams, so give me a chance to see a little bit more. And they're going to play another mediocre team this week with the Jets.
So there's nothing given for Teddy Bridgewater.
I mean, Teddy is a good, efficient, high-percentage quarterback who actually is throwing the ball deeper this year than he has more successfully, so that's good. And he's got a really good offensive coordinator in Pat Shurmur. That's very helpful. I do think the upside, though, is limited, and whenever you can compress the field against Teddy Bridgewater, make him take the checkdowns, that's when you start to limit him. So
okay.
Good for him that he's throwing the ball down the field a little bit, back defenses off, but, you know, there are some limitations with that.
Yeah, I agree. I do think the Broncos have maybe the best roster in football other than the quarterback, right? I think they're loaded.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't think they are?
I mean, best roster in football? I don't know. I think the Bucs.
Take the quarterback out of it.
Yeah, I
think
know,
they've got one of the best.
Oh, okay. All right.
Maybe the best roster in football.
Okay.
What are they missing?
Well, they have the pass rush. Chubb is hurt. I don't know. Is Von Miller still? I don't know.
I mean, listen. Yeah, I think is he 100% of what he was? No, but can he still play? Yes. Look, and if he gets hurt and he's getting older, then all this changes. But, like, their wide receiving core is very good. They're too deep at running back. They've invested a lot in the offensive line. I think it's pretty good. I think their D backfield is really good. I think the linebackers are solid. Yeah, I think that's a pretty – I mean, they were my pick to be, like, if anybody's going to shock with a, you know, a 13-4 year – like one of those like 95-97 Chiefs that they do it on, you know, pick sixes and grind it out wins, it'll be the Broncos.
Okay.
But I'm not guaranteeing
it. No, it's fine. It's duly noted. I'm just a little bit more skeptical than that, but I got it.
All right, Bob, who wins between the Chiefs and Chargers? 15 seconds.
I think the Chiefs will win, but I think this is going to be a bit of a struggle. I think San Diego, L.A. is better. Justin Herbert, I think, will come alive against this defense.
We'll find out.
Bob, the Chiefs to win.
Bob, you're the man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, man. I'll talk to you then. See ya.
Our thanks to Mr. Bruce Tap House. Great place to come hang out. Enjoy Oktoberfest. 12 different beers on tap here in Lawrence.